chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. It's good to see you again. I'm glad you're in the Lord's house this evening. I want to do what I was born to do tonight. I want to entertain you, but not in a fun way. If you're saved. And if you're not, I want conviction on you. But I want to get down inside you and let you realize where you are. Lost or saved. Look at verse 25, if you will, please. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. If God will help me, I want to preach on this woman and do something for you while I do preach it. This is serious business. Every move that Christ made while he was here was serious business. Nothing recorded here of him ever saying a funny thing. Isn't that amazing? And yet the Savior of the world preached the gospel and died for our sins and did for us what no man could do. Now it looks like here that this healing of this woman is something on the side as he went with this ruler to go to his house to cure his daughter. But Jesus never did anything second or third. He just walked through the country healing. Amen. And he's still available today. This woman's in a mess. She had a private disease. I don't know how many doctors she'd been to. I don't know what all they had done to her, but they charged her until she had no money. And the only hope she had now is there's this lowly Nazarene coming through the country, declaring himself to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And as she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. Now her blood's killing her. And she needs blood from somewhere else. And she's fixing to get it. Every one of us has tried everything to have happiness and peace and joy, are a complete failure trying to do so. And the only hope we've got of being cured is Jesus Christ. Jesus never treated anybody and made them better. Everyone that touched him was made completely whole. And I bless his name that I've experienced that, knowing that not only he can, but he does. I told my church on Sunday, I've asked people, can you do this? And they said, can do. And I want to introduce him to you tonight. He can do.
Amen.
Everything that plagues you, Jesus can take care of it.
Right.
Now this woman is coming to where he is. Far as I know, she's not met him before. Had no invitation outside of her heart. But there's something in her that gave her faith that if she'd touch him, she could be made whole. So you're saved by grace through faith. This faith is a strange thing that the world knows little about today. I'm talking about preachers and deacons and church members knows very little about the faith that God wants out of our lives. I realize I had faith before I got saved. This woman did too. The kind of faith she had didn't save her, but it was coming to that. I realize now that before I left my seat to go to the altar, I had faith to believe that Jesus could and would save me. And this woman's coming now, already humbled down, already decided their only hope was Jesus Christ. I know there's been times in her life that she's said, I've done all I can do. I'm ready to give up.
Yeah.
I thought about you tonight, whether you've ever been there or not. Just to the place where the plagues of this world, the aggravating circumstances, finances and health has driven you to where you just about want to quit. I've been there. If you are in the fight, if you are doing business for God, if you're trying to better yourself in the work of the Lord, if you're trying to live a Christian life, the devil will see to it that all these plagues that trouble the mind and heart will be thrown on you. And I'm going to talk to you tonight that maybe yesterday or maybe last week, when you said, I don't know whether I can go any further or not. Maybe nobody knows it but you. Maybe a preacher, preacher's wife or family. Maybe nobody else knows about your trouble. And you're ashamed to talk about it. But if you could touch tonight the hem of the garment, if you could bow yourself to his will for your life, it'll make a different human being out of you.
Amen.
I don't know how many times I think this woman's in depression. I think she's thought about taking her own life. I think she's thought about just throwing it all away and saying, I quit. We're living in a day of giving up and quitting.
Yes, yes, right.
I don't know how many preachers, how many people that I've known of had just walked out and said, I've gone as far as I can go.
Right.
Some came back, some didn't, some never have come back. I think them that never have never had anything to begin with.
Right.
But this woman decides she's going to God.
Yes.
What a uncommon move for Christian folk to come to the realization, if you ever come to the place where you know the only hope God's got to change your life, I'm not talking about just in your present situation, I'm talking about in all your life,
yes, right. Yeah.
That you surrender to his will for your life,
yes,
as long as you live. Whoa, the day in my life. When I said it's enough, I've got nothing without you. I've suffered till I can't suffer in my inward being, my inward man. And I give it all to you, Lord, everything. And I've not been the same since. I remember the place on the road. I can look out my window where I sit now. Didn't live there then. Coming down a gravel road and crossing a little old creek. And saying, Lord, I want all of you. All of you. I believe in you and trust in you. And if something happened to me, you can call it being filled with the Holy Ghost if you want to. That's what I call it. And from then on, there's never been a day that I haven't felt His presence when I got up and when I went to sleep. And every problem, I know He's going to take care of it, whether I like it or not. Bless His name. I'm glad tonight that if I can get to where He is, Brother Bright, if I can touch Him, Lord. There's been many a time I've gone to my prayer place. I found me a place, Brother Larry, down my old piano shop at the back of it. Got a toolbox of land there, and I'd walk through the fields. We've lived there 5 years. And went here and went there and couldn't find a place. But one day, I walked in there, and God said, I'll meet you here. I go sometimes and never hit it. I go to my prayer place and beg God for help and don't hit it. But there's other days when I go and He's already in there. And bless His name. I find peace and joy and relief if I can touch Him. But I found out when I pray right, it's easier to touch Him. When I can fold myself and hand myself to Him. I'll tell you, I start my prayers now by telling Him about myself. I'm no account, Lord. I don't pray like I ought to. I don't live as close as I ought to live. I don't love my people like I ought to love Him. Forgive me, Lord. And I feel Him hovering around. And then I talk about Him, wonderful. Blessed Lord God of heaven that saved me and delivered me and brought me out of trouble and set my feet in the Jesus way. And I'm on the road, glory to God, to a place called glory. And I feel His presence. Thank you, Lord, tonight. She's going to where He is. I think now, I've been studying prayer all my ministry. And I know very little about it. The more I learn about it, the more that I realize I've never known much about it. But when my best times is when I get an invitation. I want you to listen to me now. When He invites me to prayer. I came in off the road one time, having revivals week after week after week. Had 37 one year. Most of them out of state. I came in and drove up to the front porch. When I'd come in, I'd drive through the yard and up the front porch. And that day, I just opened the doors and sat there. My wife always watched for me, and she'd come to the door. Well, I got out of the car and then come and help me in. It hadn't been much of a meeting. Nobody had said anything much to me at all. Didn't get enough money to buy my gas home. Wore absolutely out. I just opened my door and sat there, and she said, honey, you all right? Yeah. And I said, I'm done. But I got out of the car and I got an invitation to my prayer place. And I run back through the living room and kitchen in the back old bathroom. And got out on my knees and said, I'm sorry I said that, Lord. And He said, I knew you was going to say it. But I touched the hem of his garment and received strength and walked on. I'm still a walking from prayer to prayer. From valleys to valleys, from mountains to mountains, and giving myself anew to him all. It's been a rotten life on my part. I've sure been weak and undone, not done very much, but I love him more now through troubles and trials, and him coming to where I was and lifted me out.
Amen.
Oh, and kiss my soul and tell me that I can go another mile. Bless his name. I'm about to have a Monday night fit. I'm glad, thank God, of this old time way where you can meet the Lord himself. And he's not out yonder somewhere untouchable. You can still touch him and know that he loves you. Out of the deep of my God's soul, he loves his youngins. And she came in the crowd behind, and he didn't see her. But she touched the hem of his garment. And she realized she'd been made whole. I'll tell you, if I had this modern stuff that I couldn't feel it, I'd throw it away. When God saved me that morning, I was going to a liberal modern church and didn't know much about it. I know my daddy's a real Christian, and my mom would testify. But I didn't know about this emotion. Emotion by itself don't mean anything, whether it's in church or whatever. That don't excite me. You can get saved, but you can't get saved without emotion. I don't. You say, "Well, I did." No, you didn't. If seeking God don't bring you down, you can't be brought down. Amen. Ain't you glad? Now I'm talking to folk tonight. That there's a little something wrong inside, and you need a healing. I want to get close to where you are, and if God will let me, I want to give you an invitation. I'm not talking about begging you to come to an altar, but to come to him. He'll do the kind of business with you that'll last you in all your tomorrows. Now this woman's in despair. Before you can ever get to where God is, you'll have to get to that place in despair. There's no such thing as just walking up front and accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. If Holy Ghost conviction never has hit you, you've never been saved. And Holy Ghost conviction will bring you down and make you look at yourself. God never saved a strutter. There's never been a strutter he ever saved. How about that? And a boaster. I want to tell you, before you get saved, you'll realize he's your only hope. And this woman come to that place where she realized he's the only hope. I wonder why she didn't touch him on the back. I wonder why she didn't reach and try to touch his hand or his neck. But she touched the hem of his garment. That's good enough. You think you could touch him tonight? Sweep away all your despairs and fear and know him anew. Have you ever known him that way when he was a companion in the car, when he was alone? Sometimes I imagine him sitting in the seat beside me going down the road. I just talk to him. I say, "Lord, it's good to have you." I come through, coming down 40 one day, and them two tunnels you come through, I was weary and went to sleep in one of them tunnels. You know, I woke me up, somebody, old semi-truck horn just blew and blew. There's in the other tunnel. They didn't know anything about me. But he woke me up. And he didn't know why his horn blowed, I guess. But I got out of the tunnel and said, "Lord, it's good to have you along." He said, well, since I got some folks to give you this car and bought gas for you to come down here in, and I saved you and made you well enough to go, maybe you're with me.
Yeah, amen, sir.
I believe that's right, don't you? Now, if you got the kind of salvation where you just went down and made confessions and they took you in the church, you need more than that. You need to get born again. Do you know what that means, to be made completely whole? The moment God saves you, you're absolutely without forgiven sin. You're absolutely forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. There's no unforgiven sins in you. Is there tonight? You go home tonight and go to your bed and the lights go out and you lift your hand and say, "Lord, I'm happy just like I am." Or do you need to touch him? And she knew that she is made perfectly whole. Isn't that something to know? That everything has been taken away from you. Any condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. Ain't that right? Just touch the hem of his garment. I realize tonight I'm not bringing you any great scientific theology, but I want to introduce you anew to Jesus Christ and make you realize he is a personal God that'll come where your case is. He said she just happened to show up and he didn't want it. No, he knew about her the morning when he left the house. And he knows about your case. You're not going to have to go to him and say, "Lord, I want to describe myself." He already knows. He knows where you were yesterday and last night. And he knows the need of your heart tonight. I'll tell you what, the crowd didn't bother her. This crowd bother you? Will they let you cheat you out tonight to come into an altar and say, "Lord, I want to hug you tonight. Come under your will, absolutely under your will again. I got problems. There's people here tonight, the little things need to be fixed that nobody else knows anything about, and it's none of their business." I don't mean you've committed some kind of sin. Just maybe you've just backed up a little on God. If you'll touch the hem of his garment tonight, tomorrow will be a brighter day. And Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes?" All them disciples around him, they didn't feel anything. All the crowd around him are thronging him. And they said, "Why, all these people around you, and you don't know who touched your clothes. Everybody in here is what he's saying is touch your clothes." But he said, "I felt the virtue go out." He said, "Somebody's touched me that meant business, that wanted something from me, and they got it." And she, knowing what was done in her, boy, I like that. Before I got back to the house that morning, I knew what was done in me.
Amen.
I've told you before, I didn't wait where we went to church, I didn't believe in shouting. I didn't, but I was doing it that morning because I'd been made a new creature. And I'm still doing it. Bless his name. Oh, where are you tonight? It's between me and you and the Holy Ghost. Can you really say out of your heart, "I'm okay, preacher"? I sat in a restaurant in Elizabethtown, Kentucky on Saturday. My wife and I had a date together. We used to have a date every Saturday. I'd come in off the road. We was eating at the fish place, Captain D's. While we were sitting there, there's a man and woman came in and just right across the aisle sat down at a table. And he turned around to go get some condiments or something and just looked at her and walked away. And I heard her sobbing. Just crying. And I sat there a while, and he came back to the table and stood a minute and went back to get their food, and she's still sobbing. I looked at her, and she's looking directly at me, sobbing. Came back and sat down with the food, and she sat there and ate until we got up and left, sobbing. And I got outside to the car, and I said, "Brother Hanley, you missed it today. You could at least went to her and said, Jesus loves you. I'll not let that happen again without telling her about him." Maybe she already knew him. I don't know what kind of news she'd received about herself or somebody. Maybe she was sobbing. He never did change his expression. But are you sobbing inside tonight? Is it about caught up with you? Has the devil whispered in your ear and say, "What the preacher's preaching about? There's nothing wrong with what he said about you and what you're doing." Would you be truthful enough tonight to just come to him and say, "I want to bow at your feet and give myself to you anew and afresh"? Oh, you preachers, I don't know how many are here tonight. There's been many a time I have to go back where an old big toolbox is in my shop and get on my knees and say, I've messed up again, Lord. And I want you with all my heart, Lord, to help me this evening. What about that wayward child, that wayward grandchild? Had a man to die this week. He's never been to my church. I remember coming one time at his brother's funeral, or maybe his mother too. His brother's my deacon, my guard dog. He came to where I was. I was hunting one day with my dogs, and he came out there, stood around, and I said, "Joe, you come out here, and for some reason I want to talk to you." His daddy was an old-time preacher. "Hey, have you ever been saved, Joe?" And he looked at me and studied a while and finally said, "No, preacher." Now, they said at his funeral he accepted Christ at an early age, but all his people knew better. I talked to him about God, and he left the impression with me that he didn't see any sense in all that at all. He's kind to me. But he died on Friday, I think it was. He's been in school ever since then. Will you have to come to worse times to admit to God you're just not all you can be and want his touch? Can you come tonight to an altar and leave it at his feet? The Bible said she realized what was done in her, and she came and told him all the truth. That's what he wants out of you. Is to come and tell him all the truth about yourself. It just may be a little old something, don't amount to anything to anybody else, but between you and God, you know, somebody has said something wrong to somebody. I'm going to go back to my prayer place again and say, "Lord, I failed that lady in the fish place today. I should have went to her. I was afraid he would cuss me or something." But oh, there's relief at the cross tonight. And he said, "Woman, thy faith hath made thee whole." And then what did he say? "Go in peace." Ain't that what he said? That's what he's offering to you tonight.
Yes, sir.
to go in peace. I've been preaching since 1960. I've pastored 89 churches, been where I'm at now 32 years. Got less of a crowd now than I had when I went there. He said, "You're not much of a success. What do you know about it?" Do we want what's real in our life? I mean, do we want show business, or we want what is absolutely real between us and God? I'm giving you my heart tonight. You may be here and the blood that's in you is going to put you in hell. It is polluted in the Garden of Eden. We've all got it and we're all dying. I'll tell you what you can do now. You can be born once and die twice. Or you can be born twice and die once. And I've been born twice. And the second birth is more real to me than the other. All it done was bring to life the flesh man. But this second birth bring me alive to the spirit man. What's running this thing tonight is the spirit of God, not the flesh. Oh, listen, Mama. Have you really prayed for your kids lately and said, "Lord, I'll do with them what you want me to"? Sir, can you say I'm being true tonight to my household, my companion, my family, and I want to make a change tonight? All I ask you to do tonight is be honest with what God has touched you in your life. I don't care if you're a preacher, none of my business. You may have missed it yesterday somewhere and just said, want to say, "Lord, I'm sorry. It's going to be better from here on out." Maybe a lady here tonight, maybe a child in a preacher's family, and you've been wondering what your path is, and saying, "When I'm older, I'm not going to do this anymore." But you better come to an altar tonight and say, "Lord, my life will be what you want it to be." I want them to come to the instruments, if they will, and play. Everybody stand, please. Would you be obedient tonight? That's all I ask of you.